to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Book of Genesis, chapter 2, we'd like to read verses 15 through 25, and then we want to read verses 6 through 13 of chapter 3. In Genesis 2, begin reading with verse 15, and the Lord God took the man, put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam, to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Then in Genesis chapter 3, begin reading with verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. In these verses, particularly in Genesis chapter 2, we are introduced to life, human life, and more importantly, God's design on how that life is to be lived. And then in chapter 3, we see man's departure from God's design. Man's departure from God's design for life. Life is a very serious matter. Matter with great consequences, far-reaching impact, more far-reaching than you and I will ever realize. And it's been said that life does not come with an instruction, with instructions, but of course that is not true. The Word of God is our instruction manual for living life upon this earth. And the Word of God is a revelation. It is a disclosure of God's blueprint for living, God's pattern for living. And God, in His Word, in no uncertain terms, tells us that there is a right way to live and there is a wrong way to live. And sad to say, most people, including God's people, live life the wrong way. The Word of God tells us in no uncertain terms that there is a correct way, there is an incorrect way of living. there is a way of life. That is a way that leads to life. And there is a way of death. There is the way of the Lord. There is the way of sinners. There is the way of truth. There is the way of error. In every way, ends somewhere. It all ends somewhere. But God has given us His design, His pattern for living. Ever since early childhood, we have been being taught how to live. You raise your children, you try to teach them how to live. And if we look at our life, we've had many instructors, some good, some not so good. And there are instructors that we do not even realize that are instructing us at the time. But we all have many instructors. TV is an instructor. Radio, newspaper, magazines, they're all instructors on life. And they all impact our thoughts upon life. We have many influences in our life. Some are good, some are not so good. Then there are many experiences that we all go through that have an impact upon our life, and that have an impact upon the way we view life, and have an impact upon the way that we think life should be lived. But if you look around today, it's not hard to see that the majority of lives, and I believe we're safe to say the vast majority of lives, are a mass of confusion. They are a mass of turmoil. Everywhere you look, people's lives are in ruins. I mean, it's almost unbelievable the mess that people can make of their lives. And it's everywhere. No matter where you go, people's lives are in ruins and shambles. And why is their life in ruins? Is it because they had some bad luck as far as the world is concerned? I don't think so. It's because they haven't lived them right. And they continually do the same things over and over and over that just leads to further destruction. And then they train their children to do the same things, and it just it's an endless cycle, unless the Lord delivers one from it. And as you look around, you see most people's lives are in shambles, just skeletal remains. But it's good to know that there is such a thing as happiness. There is such a thing as happiness. There is such a thing as fulfillment in life. But these things don't just happen. You have to live according to God's design. We see that life consists of circumstances. Life consists of many, many different situations. Our lives consist of many different seasons, many different trials, many different difficulties. There are choices that we have to make. There are decisions that we have to make. There are people that we come in contact with. There are people that we must deal with. There are people that have an influence upon us. And then, of course, there are various places in our life as well. But I believe God's Word is a sufficient guide through it all. God's Word is a sufficient guide through every aspect of life. You see, life does not have to be misery. It doesn't have to be filled with strife. It doesn't have to be filled with contention. And you look at most lives today, and they're filled with strife. They're filled with contention. They're filled with anger. They're filled with bitterness and misery and gloom. failure and frustration. You look at most people's lives today, and their lives are a failure. And they're frustrated. Everywhere you go, people are frustrated. And it's not just frustration from the political scene. I'm talking about overall frustration with life. There's chaos. There's confusion everywhere. And people cannot consistently do things that are destructive and expect that things will go well. But that's what people think today. They somehow have been convinced that they can do that which is sure to lead to destruction, sure to lead to ruin, but somehow it's all going to work out. And somehow it will all go well. But I believe in order for life to work, it must be lived in the way that it was designed. And when God created Adam, and when God created Eve, and when God placed them in the garden, we see God's design for living. Most people do not live right. We read in Genesis 1 and verse 31 after creation that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. In other words, life was good. How many people today would say honestly that life is good? Most could not say that because most are miserable in the life that they live. Again, go sit at the mall for as long as you can stand it, and just watch people. People are miserable. And I don't care where you go. You say, well, that's because of the economy in Flint. No, you can go anywhere. I don't care where you go. People are unhappy. People are miserable. But when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he designed a way of living for them. And we want to speak upon that this evening, God's design for living. Life in Eden prior to the fall is a picture of life as it should be. It is a picture of life what it can be. Life was bliss before the fall. Life was filled with happiness before the fall. So let's look how life was designed to be lived here in Genesis chapter 2. We see, first of all, when God created Adam and Eve, placed them in the garden, God was the source. God was the source. And God was the origin of all things. And without a doubt, Adam and Eve lived in the garden, and they recognized and they fully realized that God was the source and God was the fountainhead of all. They realized that. They realized that everything in that garden had its origin in God. They recognized that everything they had was from God. And they could safely conclude from that everything that they would ever need would come from God. So they saw God as the source, and they were okay with that. They didn't have a problem with that. They saw God as the all-sufficient source. They saw God as the owner and dispenser of all things. And there are many verses in the Word of God that declares that God is the owner and God is the dispenser of all things. God being the source of all things puts man in a position of dependence upon God. And I believe that is how life was designed to be lived. God is the source. That makes man dependent
upon God. The more you and I realize that, the more you and I experience that, the more you and I live that, that God is my source, and I am completely dependent upon Him, the happier we'll be. And the smoother life will go. This is God's design for life. He is the source. We are dependent upon Him. Notice in 2 Corinthians, if you keep a mark there in Genesis, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I realize Paul here is speaking of the ministry, but it applies to everything. He says in verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency or our ability or capability is of God. Paul realized God is my source, and I am completely dependent upon God. Adam and Eve, prior to the fall, realized God is our source. We are completely dependent upon God. This is illustrated in John 15, verses 1 through 5, where we see Jesus talking about the vine and the branches. And the lesson there is that life flows from the vine to or through the branches. And there are two key phrases there in John 15 and verse 3. He said, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And in John 15 and verse 5, he said, without me, ye can do nothing. Both are a reminder that God is the source, and we are completely dependent upon God. In God, there is strength. In God, there is peace. In God, there is contentment. In God, there is fulfillment, and there is happiness. And yet today, man looks everywhere else for strength. He looks everywhere else for peace. He looks everywhere else for contentment. He looks everywhere else for fulfillment and happiness, and he doesn't find it anywhere else. Or if he does find it, it's very, very short-lived. It's only for a moment. And the result is, man is miserable. He's unhappy. But the way God designed life is, he's the source. We are dependent upon God. And if we want strength, we have to go to the source, which is God. If we want peace, we go to the source, which is of God. If we want contentment, we go to God. If we want fulfillment, if we want happiness, all of these things come from God. But even most of God's people, they look for fulfillment and happiness in people. Guess what? You're going to be disappointed. Or they look for happiness and fulfillment, contentment in a job or whatever. But these things come from God. And the sooner we realize that God is the source of these things, and we are dependent upon God, the happier our life will be. God did not design life for you and I to run around and look for strength somewhere else. That's not the way God designed it. God designed life for you and I to draw strength from Him. He did not design life so you and I could run around and seek peace and contentment and fulfillment and happiness in other places. He designed it that we would receive those things from Him. This is foundational for God's designed life. So the first thing about a God-designed life or God-designed life is God is the source. That makes us dependent upon God.
We also see here in Genesis chapter 2 that life, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them for a relationship. Life is relational. God created Adam and Eve, and immediately they were put into a relationship, first with God, and then with each other. In Genesis 2 and verse 18, the Lord said concerning Adam, "It is not good that man should be alone." That's still true today. It's not good. God did not design us to live as a recluse. God did not design you to be a hermit. And for people who say, I just want to get away from everybody, I would be happiest if I never saw another person. No, you wouldn't. God didn't create you that way. God didn't create anybody that way. I realize personalities are different, but God did not create anybody to be a recluse. He created us, and he created us as interpersonal beings. This is God's design for life. People will say all the time, well, life would be easier if it wasn't for other people. But it really wouldn't be. Because God created us to be in a relationship. So life was designed to be interpersonal. It was designed to be lived in a close relationship, a close connection, a close association and correspondence, first with God and then with man. And I'm telling you, man's relationships would work much better if they had a relationship with God. You get a relationship with God and you don't have as many problems with interpersonal relationships, especially if you have two people who are in a relationship with God. I'm not talking about two people who profess to have a relationship with God. I'm talking about two people who actually enjoy a relationship with God every day. Those two people can also have a close relationship with one another. Notice in Matthew 22, Matthew 22, verse 37 through verse 40. Matthew 22, verse 37 through verse 40. I don't know if I'm ever going to get this Bible broke in. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." There's a relationship with God. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is relationship between people. We're not designed to live separate from God. And we're not designed to live separate from one another. So Adam and Eve, God creates them. He places them in the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve had fellowship with God. They had daily fellowship with God. They walked with God. They talked with God. They had fellowship with God. But not only that, they also had fellowship with one another. They had contact with God. They were familiar with God. They had contact with one another. And they were familiar with one another. There was a warm friendship between them and God. And there was a warm friendship between Adam and Eve. They had a closeness with God. And they had a closeness to one another. They were in agreement with God. They were in perfect agreement with God. And they were in agreement
with one another. They enjoyed God. Adam and Eve, prior to the fall, walked every day with God, and every day they enjoyed God. But I also believe that Adam and Eve enjoyed one another. They enjoyed one another's company. In other words, life was bliss for Adam and Eve. Life was a delight because up to this point, they are living life as it was designed by God. And life will be a delight. I'm not saying there won't be any problems, but life will be a delight when you live it according to God's design. It's life falls apart when you depart from the design, from the pattern, from the blueprint of God. So man, being a relational creature, puts him in a position of need. So we see man is in the position of a dependent. God is the source. This is the way God designed life. God created man for a relationship, first with himself and then with other individuals. That puts man in a position of need. And as long as Adam and Eve drew from God as their source, they were a blessing to each other. That's still true today. You can take husband and wife, and again, if husband and wife are looking for all their personal fulfillment and contentment and peace from their spouse, guess what? You're going to be unhappy because you're not going to find it. Oh, I know people that are dating, they think, oh, this person's everything I've ever been looking for. They'll give me contentment for the rest of my life. You fool. That's not true. There isn't any human being that can give you that. God is the source of those things. And that's why people become unhappy with one another, because I no longer find contentment in that person. I no longer get what I need from that person. I no longer get fulfillment from that person. That's not how God designed it. God designed you to get those things from Him. And then as you draw those things from God, then you are a blessing to each other and an encouragement to each other. So life was designed to be lived near to God. He's the source, and our life was designed to live near to God. And as long as Adam and Eve both live near to God as their source, their relationship with one another was joyful. Their relationship with one another was sweet and fulfilling. The third thing about a God design life is that God is the authority. God is the authority, or we can put it, make it even plainer, God is the boss. He's the boss. You want a happy life? Recognize God as your boss. The reason that so many folks are miserable is because they do not recognize God as the boss. God is the authority. In other words, with God placed Adam and Eve in the garden prior to the fall, God was in charge. Adam and Eve knew that God was in charge, and Adam and Eve didn't have a problem with that. They liked it that way. And when that happens, when you realize that God is in charge, God is the boss, and you like it that way, life works. Life works. God, we see in Genesis chapter 2, when God placed them in the garden, God gave man a role. He gave him a place. He gave him something to do. Well, I just want to sit around and do nothing. That's not how God designed life. You won't be happy sitting around doing nothing. People say, oh, if I could just sit around and do nothing all day, I would be so happy. No, you'd be depressed. And depression is an all-time high. People today playing the video game. I can't even move my fingers right doing it. But they play the video games. They do it all day long.
And there are more young people depressed today than there's ever been. Because that's not how God designed you to do nothing. He put you in a place, He put them in the garden, and He gave them something to do. They were to tend to the garden. But not only that, God set limits upon them. Oh, if I could just do anything I wanted, then I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. Because that's not how God designed life. God designed life with limits. And He put limits upon Adam and Eve. Notice Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Again, He gave him something to do. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Put the emphasis on all the trees. You may eat of any of these trees. But, with the exception of one tree, that tree is off limits. And as long as Adam and Eve observe the limitations of God and confine themselves within the limitations of God, Adam and Eve were happy. I mean, life was bliss. Life was paradise when they confine themselves to the limitations of God. And I'm telling you, that will still be the case today. God has set limits all through His Word. He has put limitations upon us. And the sooner you and I realize God is the boss, and as long as I stay confined within the limitations of God, I'll be happy. There's happiness there. There's joy there. But man is convinced today that he can't be happy unless he can do whatever he pleases. And that's when man ruins himself and brings ruin to his life. So God being in control, that puts man in a position of submission and subordination. So God's design for life, we see man's position is one of dependence. His position is one of need. His position is one of subordination and submission. And as long as man stays in his position, life is great. Life is wonderful. So you see, life was designed by God to be lived recognizing the authority of God, obeying and yielding to such authority, lived under the government of God. And if you live your life that way, it'll be good. You'll have a good life. We see life was designed for God to be the master and for man to be the subject. You stay there as the subject. You keep God as the master, and life will be good. You insist on doing it your way, you'll ruin your life. You insist on doing whatever you please and whatever you feel at the moment, you'll ruin your life. You'll bring misery to your life. And not only that, that will have an impact upon every relationship you have with people. Our relationship with God also, as we see with Adam and Eve, also impacts our relationship to others. And that brings us to our second point, which was there was a failure to continue in the God-designed life. When Adam and Eve ceased to live as it was designed by God, their life of bliss came crashing down. And when man disregards God's design for life, there's not going to be any bliss. There's not going to be any paradise. When they ceased living life according to God's life, their life of tranquility, and they had a life of tranquility, we see became a life of fear. They never feared God before.
Now they were afraid of him. Their life of tranquility became a life of turmoil. They never had to hide before. Became a life of chaos and confusion. Their life of fulfillment. I mean, Adam and Eve were being fulfilled. Everything was great. But when they departed from God's design for life, their life became a failure, and their life became filled with frustration. And that's all recorded in Genesis chapter 3. And what is written in Genesis chapter 3, all the problems, all the wrong, all the evil, all of that which is immoral, and all the failure, and all the disappointment, and all the sadness, and all the sorrow, and all the pain, and trouble, and discomfort, and all the conflict, and all the bitterness, and turmoil, and all the vengeance, and all the fear, and all the crime and selfishness, and all confusion, and all deception, and all lies, and all error, and all manipulation, and all death came from this one event. Man departed from God's design for life. And now his life is in ruins. We're not going to go into it tonight, but you read Genesis 3 and you see how Satan worked upon Eve to get her to believe that there was something better than God's design for life. There is nothing better. There is nothing better than the way God designed life. And the suggestion that Satan made to Eve was, Eve, you can do what you please and things will be all right. You can disregard the limitations that God has set upon you and things will be all right. The reason God has set those limitations upon you is God wants to keep you from some happiness. He wants to keep you from some joy. And Eve began to believe that. And that's what happens to man as well. God suggested to Eve that she could improve her life by disregarding God's authority. She could take control of her own life. God didn't have to be the source. She could have control. And their life of bliss came crashing down. Adam and Eve became independent from God as their source. When Adam and Eve ate from that tree, they moved away from God. They moved away from God and they tried to gain life apart from God, and man has been doing that ever since, and the result is still the same. Man is miserable. Man is unfulfilled. Man is filled with frustration. They are now, Adam and Eve are now living their life independent from God. They were no longer recognizing God as the source of their happiness, no longer recognizing God as the source of their contentment. They were now looking somewhere else. They were looking to that tree. Oh, there's contentment there. There's fulfillment there. There's happiness there. You see, they've left God as their source. And that's why lives are so miserable today. People have left God as their source for contentment, for fulfillment, for satisfaction. Adam and Eve also lost their relationship. They lost their relationship with God, of course.
But not only did they lose their relationship with God, they really lost their relationship with one another as well. Their relationship with one another was drastically changed. They were separated from God. Genesis 3 and verse 8. They sought to hide from God. They are now living outside of fellowship with God. They no longer have the same familiarity with God. They no longer are enjoying that friendship that they had with God. And that when the moment they took of that fruit, they were no longer in agreement with God. And as you see Adam and Eve hiding from God, they're not enjoying God anymore. That's all been changed. That's all been changed. You see, by going to another source, they lost their relationship with God. Having lost their relationship with God, their relationship with one another has drastically changed. Having lost their relationship with God, that has a negative impact upon their relationship with one another. You get out of fellowship with God. I'm talking to God's people. You get out of fellowship with God, and that is going to have an impact, a negative impact, upon your relationships with God's people. It's going to have a negative impact upon your relationship with your spouse as well. You cannot separate these two relationships, God and then our relationship with man. But you notice, we said again, their relationship with one another has drastically changed. They no longer appear to each other in the same way. They now see each other as naked. They don't even appear to each other in the same way. They can't even look at each other in the same way. All because they left God as their source. All because they set aside the authority of God. And we see they began to do something that they never did before. They began to cast blame. Adam said, "That woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit." He now looks at Eve in a way that he'd never looked at her before. He looks at her now as an enemy almost. It's her fault. When Eve gave the fruit to Adam, why did she do that? Why couldn't she just eat the fruit and leave Adam alone? Because she wanted control. She wanted to take control. She wanted to manipulate. That's what happens. Life today is filled with people who want control. That's why marriages struggle. It's two people striving for control. And then the manipulation begins to set in. And then the blame begins to go back and forth. And it all goes back to a failure to recognize God as the source of our contentment, our happiness, our fulfillment. We see they no longer trusted each other like they once did. "That woman that thou gavest me." I don't believe Adam had the same trust for Eve that he had before. The relationship was drastically changed. Then lastly, Adam and Eve rebelled against God's authority. They not only stopped depending upon God as their source. You do that, your life is going to be misery. And that not only changed their relationship with God, but also changed their relationship with one another. But they also rebelled against the authority of God. They rebelled against what God said. You know, man today, well, the politicians are good for this. They're quick to say how God's ways won't work, as if their ways are working. I mean, you'd have to be a fool to believe that man's ways are working. Man's ways are a miserable failure. They always have been. God has a design for life. And when we live life by God's design, life is wonderful. Life is bliss. Life is paradise. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, they thought that they would improve their lives. Satan said, God knows that the day you eat that fruit, you'll be as gods. In other words, you'll improve your life. You will never improve your life by going against God's design for life. Oh, it may appear momentarily that your life has been improved, but I assure you that's momentarily. You cannot improve upon God's design for life. So the whole lesson here is this. There are two ways of living. We can live according to God's design, has set up prior to the fall in the Garden of Eden. Or we can live life, the life of the fall. And people are living one of those two lives. That's what Paul is talking about in Romans 8 and verse 1. When he mentions that we're to, not to walk after the flesh. To walk after the flesh is to live in the fall. But we're to walk in the Spirit, which is to live life as it was designed by God. So I'm telling you today, people are miserable. The reason they're miserable is they're doing it wrong. They're doing it wrong. It's amazing how many people are so miserable, they'll come to you for advice and then they will argue as if their way is working. Their way is not working, but they refuse. They refuse to believe God's way. But that is the only way that'll work. You can be happy if you live life God's way. Will circumstances always be what you like them to be? No, but you'll be happy. I'm telling you, there's contentment, there's satisfaction, there's fulfillment in living life God's way. But the very moment you want to do it your way, the very moment you want to take control, you are on a path of misery. You are on a path of ruin. And that is why today the vast majority of marriages, the vast majority of any relationships are disastrous, is because it all fell apart with God's and man's relationship. You got to get that right. And then you build upon that. So God does have a design for living, and all that we would live life according to God's design. It works. It really, truly works. Brother Jim, you come and lead us.